are 5x5 in the pipe.
Spunkmeyer.
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
God damn it, Spunkmeyer. Hey, oh, man.
Spunkmeyer was a previous gamer tag of mine.
Nice. That's a good one.
My new one actually has come from all the Twin Peaks watching I've been doing. There is a character in that show who is a bank clerk who is about 180 and doesn't move around so good, and his name is Del Mibble.
It's nice. Solid.
Del Mibble is my jam now. So, guys.
Ah.
Last time we talked, it was kind of our E3 wrap-up show.
Yeah.
And that was super fun, but let's get back to normal business. Folks, you're listening to the Shotcast. My name is Bo. I'm your host. Over here in the ether is one John Dolan. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. What's up, man?
Oh, you know.
You doing a show or something? What's going on?
Yeah, we were some of the kids in the neighborhood decided to put up this stage here. We're just going to put on a little video game podcast. You want in?
Yeah, sure. I'm here.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
Bringing it strong, as yeah, always.
Yeah. Also, one Justin McFerrin, how are you, sir?
Stupendous.
Mm.
In a word.
I am a...
In a word.
It's a good word, though. I mean, it's positive, and it's just generally a good word. And hasn't been claimed by El Presidente yet. It's stupendous.
That's true.
I mean, when that happens, that's going to be a real heartbreaker.
If he ends a tweet with just the word stupendous later, we know he's
listening. I mean, he's a known closeted fan of the Shotcast.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if I would admit to that, but
he's listening because he needs to know where Smedley is, and we have a direct line.
At all times.
He needs to be Smedley. Aware of Smedley's... Give me Smedley. Yeah. This is all true. These are facts. It's a fact-based podcast.
Oh, as I've said many times, listening to this podcast earns you college credit. So we just haven't picked the subject yet. Could be biology. Could be... geography.
African-American studies.
Almost never. It could be, but I feel like that would be dangerous territory at best. I don't feel like
we have a lot of background.
You're right. As three white urban and suburbanites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems a little out of our wheelhouse. I feel like...
Women's history?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we know women, right? I get it.
Possibly the smarmiest thing ever said on this podcast.
Right.
It's great. Moving on.
Yeah, no. Obviously, I'm joking. Who knows what they're thinking? Am I right? Is that better? I think it is.
You've got both sides covered now.
Yeah,
so.
I feel good about all
now
of that.
Now everybody will be pissed off.
They call that the pivot. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a little bit of a precarious spot tonight because I ran out of bottled water. And, to keep the instrument tuned, I always have some water on hand, so I had to use an actual glass. Which I don't feel comfortable about near all this equipment, and I don't trust myself.
Water in it?
It's got just plain old water, but it's also a plain old
fluoride,
glass.
Though. That's how they.
Well, it's filtered. I mean, I'm not an animal.
No, they know about that. They know about that, man.
They got secret anti-Brita technology.
They have.
Yeah,
they made.
Don't
they made...
you know? They've got a back door in all those Britas, okay, man? Like, that fluoride's just getting right through there, okay?
They have a secret knock. The little fluoride molecules come up, and then they let them in the back. And
right. Well, what it is you got the reptilians putting the fluoride in the water. Makes us all weak-minded.
Half human chimeras. I've seen them.
Can you say the word Kraken in that voice?
Kraken!
Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what we need is more Kraken.
I, you know, to this day, I will ask people on occasion, what's crack-a-lackin', because I'm that committed to that phrase. No one else says it. I haven't heard it in years, but I bring it out every now and again.
It's a good bit.
Gentlemen, we start this show as we normally do. Not just the general introductions. People know us now. They're practically family, which is great because I'm going to need bail money.
Or blood.
Or, I mean, a kidney. Let's all get real for a second. My body is shit. I'm going to need some of your organs, people.
You do your weekly transfusion during the show, right?
I have a blood boy. Nice.
One of those autoclaves that sucks your blood out, spins all the impurities out of it, and then sends it back in for you.
Yeah, it like shoots 18-year-old blood right into me.
Your blood boy, you have a controlled diet.
You're
eating things that are green.
Yeah.
It's the good stuff.
I mean, like after hearing the news about poor John McCain, you know, God bless him. But to happen to somebody so young.
It's tight. I really like that joke.
Smirked it in.
That was off the cuff, and I feel bad we're now pointing it out because it becomes less funny. Anyway, what I was getting at is that we also play the Vidya games, and I haven't been playing a lot of online stuff lately. I've gotten some gaming in, but I always like to hear what you guys have been playing first and foremost. Justin, what have you been playing? And try not to use the word battlegrounds.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that.
It's gonna be a rough night.
A lot of that.
Right, that's the secret word.
We had the Steam sale.
Yes.
I did pick up the Wolfenstein New Order. Hmm. So I've put a little time into that. It's pretty fun. It's definitely, you know, it looks great. It runs great. It's more like a Doom, you know. It's a lot more fast-paced. So I haven't really devoted a lot of time to it. There is some sneaking and stuff in it, which is cool, but it seems like once things get going, I even have it like cranked up on like a high difficulty. I'm never like running out of stuff or having to really worry about much. So I don't know. I might crank it up a little bit more. And
yeah, there are a couple of arena areas in that are a little nasty.
Okay.
Yeah, and the entire first level on that is not particularly representative of the rest of the game.
Oh, for sure.
Like that kind of you're landing in the B-17 and you're storming the castle and all that is a very different level than a lot of the other stuff that you do.
That's good to know.
And just from level to level in that game as well, kind of mixes it up. Like there's a prison escape level.
I had read that it does mix it up a lot. So yeah, maybe, you know, I'll probably devote a little more time to that.
And a really good story in that game too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So far the story has been very awesome. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really stands out that I've played or picked up from the Steam sale.
How much what was your grand total on the Steam sale? I actually went over what I thought I would by quite a bit.
I would say under $200.
All right. Well, we're actually not that far apart. I spent about $240, but I got like 35 games or something ridiculous like that. So
I did pick up the Hitman, the newest Hitman.
Mm.
I've put about 3 hours into that, and it's a lot of fun. It runs really great. I will probably pick up a season pass for season two, even though I got this for super cheap. I'll probably go and pick it up. That was honestly, wouldn't say I'm bummed that I missed out on that, but some of those like what were the contract, the like elusive
targets. Yeah, they actually just ran the last one of those for season one.
Yeah, it would have been cool to play some of those.
But there's tons of other shit to explore in that game. Like there are so many levels. There's the variants of the levels. Like the Italian villa has two variants to it. Is that right? Wait, what's the name? No, it has one variant. There's like a movie set variant to it.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of, there's one that's like, oh, it's got like a wintry,
yeah,
almost a Christmas map version of it. So yeah, and they highlight a lot of stuff where you can try different approaches and you know, different ways to do things, which is pretty cool. A lot different than the other Hitman games. But
what were they charging for that?
I think when it was on the Steam sale, was, I mean, it was like sub $10.
Wow,
for that whole thing. I think I got it for
that's a lot of game for that price. That's cool.
Nothing really past that. I had an, I'll say an honorable mention. One thing that I probably will pick up, I think if you've got VR, and for someone that works at home, this seems like a cool idea. This thing I found today for $10, it's a unlimited whiteboard. So you just put your headset on, you got your motion controllers, and they've got like every dry erase color, and they just give you like an infinite whiteboard to kind of draw on and brainstorm on, and then you can save that as like a PNG and just open it up in a image file, you know, as like a image file later and send that to people. And you can import documents directly into it and then draw on those documents in 3D, and then, you know, maybe do like a flow chart or some crap, you know. It's pretty cool.
So by infinite, you mean you can move down it like from left to right forever, or does it like page?
I think in this, it's just all the way around you. It's just in an environment that's nothing but it. Yeah.
A giant whiteboard.
If you search, I think it's dry. If you just search dry erase, it's infinite VR whiteboard, but it's dry erase infinite VR whiteboard. But it's pretty cool looking. And for $10, there's a lot of people who, I mean, I've read a couple of reviews of it that seem like it was something that if you're just trying to zone out, and something.
So it looks like you're kind of standing in a giant sphere.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that's cool. That's really neat.
And I imagine that you can move that entire sphere around you and essentially keep rotating it and then rotate it back to get back to like something else that you wrote, you know, way back. I imagine that you could continue to scroll that in front of you forever. And that's the intention there, is that you technically that plane so, that you're drawing on is forever.
As someone who works in a cubicle, having an infinite sized office would be really, really cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, you expense that shit. Just put on the company card.
Yep. Get myself a Vive, put on my helmet when I get to work.
I've worked a little bit with the virtual desktop. That works really well, where it just you can size up your, you know, real computer desktop and make it, you know, like a huge screen and just put your controllers down and use your mouse and keyboard like normal and just sit at your desk, watch movies in, you know, IMAX screen size or something. Certainly the headsets, I don't think the clarity there is on the headsets with the displays yet to really do it. I did it for like an hour, just like kind of going through my emails and doing stuff in my calendar. But if I had to like do anything like text editing for any long period of time, it would get really annoying.
Yeah, not quite there yet, but I like where their head's at. And
It's a cool concept. I like this just because you could drawing instead of typing is, you're going to be able to make it as legible as you want it to be.
Yeah, nice. I'm curious about the fidelity of like, hey, if I'm writing with a touch controller, how one-to-one is that?
Well, I've done the graffiti games, and that's, I've never had any issue with what if, you know, I felt like everything I was doing was natural.
You had so good tip, nice. Tip control?
Good tip control.
Nice.
All right. That's always important.
Just the tip control.
What are you, Catholic?
No.
All right.
No, I am not.
Not anymore.
Not. I don't think I ever was. Not even by accident once.
So, nah. You know, I fell in with the bad crowd when I was a kid.
Got in the Catholic gang.
Yeah, there. Hey, you want some wine?
I got these crackers, man.
Yeah, they're really dry. It's the driest cracker you've ever had in your entire life.
How do you feel about eating the body of Christ? Well, you put it that way, that sounds intriguing.
I am starving, so.
I'm hungry and not against cannibalism, so this is really a win for everyone. I don't know. I guess you said you spent a little north of $200, Sean, on the Steam sale.
Yeah, like about $240. I actually, and a good chunk of the over $200 part of that was me buying cheap songs for Rocksmith.
Okay.
And it's always like at the end of the sale, because you know, they never show up on the front page ever. And then I'm like, oh shit, I should check Rocksmith's content. And there was just like a fucking shit ton of really good songs that were like a third the price. And that, I mean, if anybody's ever played that game, it's it is a really, it's a really good way to learn how to play guitar. And B, it's a really fun way to learn how to play songs that you like. It's real Guitar Hero. It is your real guitar plugged into a computer, and you're playing Guitar Hero on a real guitar where you have to hit notes and frets, and you just learn how to play songs. It fucking works great.
Why don't you just play a song on YouTube?
Yeah.
And then play the song.
And then play the song?
Man.
Because I suck at guitar, and it's a good way for me to learn at it.
No, I'm right there with you. I've never tried it out, but
it's worth it, yeah.
Is there anything special on your guitar, or is it just like the cable that you...
There is a cable called the Real Tone cable, and if you buy the Steam version of Rocksmith, you have to go somewhere and buy that cable separately.
Gotcha.
eBay and or Amazon. Yeah, exactly. So when I bought it, I originally got a boxed copy of Rocksmith when it first came out, and then they did like an upgrade. Like the one you can buy now is like Rocksmith 2014, and as a Rocksmith owner, I got a free upgrade to that when it came out. Thanks. So, yeah. Not all the songs I had bought carried over. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. That is I think the neatest thing about it is you'll download a song from a band that you like that has a very distinct sound, like AC/DC or Van Halen have like an amp sound that you just expect in their songs. And when you download a song by, you know, AC/DC, when you play the song in the game, your guitar sounds like that amp because they have simulated it in the game. And because you bought that song, you now have access to that amp in just like free play mode. Like if you just want to fuck around and sound like AC/DC, you now have that exact guitar tone at your disposal at any time.
That's pretty nice.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that all sounds real neat.
Something fancy digital effects.
I mean, the age
on the guitar.
Yeah, it's the blend of the old and the new, truly a synergy.
Yeah, so those end up being, because they end up being like $150 a piece, and then I buy way more of them than I probably should or will ever have time to play. But when I do get some Rocksmith time, it's it is always a delight.
I think I spent I may have spent under $10.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't buy that much. I got so much stuff to play. It was a real chore for me to... I think the one thing I bought was Drive Club for the PC.
I just couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, I've been kind of hungry for different kind of driving game experiences lately, and
just waiting for Forza 7.
I was kind of curious about the idea of throwing some story into it, and you know, I like, you know, call me old fashioned, John. When I'm playing a game, sometimes I like a little story in it, and even a racing game. I've played a little bit of it, and I don't think it's got awful. I mean, maybe they've tuned it some since it launched, but you know, it played fine. I haven't played a ton of it, but it seems okay.
It's a driving game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a little arcadey and maybe a little floatier than you would like, but it's okay. You know, it's not a train wreck. Speaking of, Justin, are you good there?
Yeah.
That's you. John, what about you? What you been playing?
It was a while ago now, because like the last show we've had where we talked about games we played was like a month and a half ago.
I know. Remember back in the old days?
Back when we played games. So way back then, I played, I had picked up Titanfall 2, and I played and completed the single player for that in like 3 nights. I just played a couple hours each night. It's only about maybe 9 hours long.
Yeah, 8-9 hours.
Yeah. But that's fucking awesome, man. It's such a good campaign.
Yeah, it's action packed, yep. Start to finish.
Well, and it's got a kind of a cool, almost portal-y vibe going on a little bit in some of the set design. Particularly one level where you're in this giant factory and there's these conveyor belts that are building like simulated cities, and as the big giant platforms that these houses and things are built on are moving and getting passed from big giant, you know, crane to arm and thing down this assembly line, you're using like the wall running and jumping and all the crazy moves that your guy can do to kind of navigate through that shit, and then all the while, you know, pumping tons of guys full of lead in the face. It's pretty good. I would highly recommend picking that game up. I think it was $15 when I got it on Origin. So it'll be back there. But yeah, if anyone has not played that, it's...
And there's a... And am I stepping on the news? Isn't there a free weekend?
Yeah, there's a free weekend coming up for that. And we can blow that news since I'm talking about it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's blow some news. They're adding a co-op mode, which is, my understanding is, it's essentially a horde mode, but 4-player co-op. And you do like 5 rounds of horde mode, and you can unlock, I think you can unlock shit that you can use in multiplayer. I thought I read that. Yeah, because
the multiplayer, they already in certain modes blend with bots, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a logical extension that you would still have those two modes connected together. I think a lot of games that have a horde mode, that progression is completely separate from the other multiplayer mode, but that would be cool if they kept had it connected somehow.
Yeah. They're adding some new paid content, cosmetic stuff that you can do in there, which I will probably not engage with at all, but yeah, I've not played much of the multiplayer, Justin, so we need to get in a game of that.
Yeah, I think the night we played, we got tore up pretty good.
Yeah.
Wade was playing with us, and yeah. We got really pissed off.
But that was before I had ever... I mean, that was kind of my first experience with the game. And so that's the interesting thing about the single player is it is totally training for the multiplayer.
Oh, like, yeah.
It teaches you everything you need to know about shooting and moving. So once you get into a real game, you'll know what to do. It trains you everything you need to know about using the Titan, wall running, all that crazy shit. The only thing I think that is in multiplayer that is not in the game is that grappling hook. It's not in the single player, I mean.
And have you played some multiplayer post single player campaign?
Just a little bit.
And you felt like, I can hang with this.
Yeah, I mean, more. I kind of transitioned like right into it. Like I finished single player and I was like, damn, that was great. I wish it was longer. I should try some multiplayer. And, you know, went right to it immediately. So it was fresh. I've never been a great first person shooter player, but I did all right. I was middle of the pack pretty much every round I played, so yeah, good stuff. I played another first person shooter that was a Kickstarter that I backed, Strafe.
Oh yeah,
kind of a disappointment.
I kind of heard that. Is it just repetitive or what's going
Well, so I'm gonna just admit up front that I was sucked in by slick marketing. Because the trailer for that game on Kickstarter was hilarious and awesome. So, but it was like $15 or something. The problem with it is the AI is atrocious in this game. It is a first-person roguelike bloodbath kind of a shooter. And it's the shtick is that it's the best game of 1996 is the tagline on it. So it's got like Doom, old, you know, original Doom, maybe a little bit better than original Doom style graphics. But you are some kind of scientist-y space marine dude who's teleported onto a ship that is fucked up and you need to blow all these guys away or some convoluted story like that. And
the shooter controls for it feel really good. It's fast like Doom. You can, you know, aim really well and really tight. You're playing mouse and keyboard, and you can get lots of headshots. There's cool mechanics in the game where you can shoot limbs off of enemies. You can, headshots are kind of fun, and, you know, they're kind of going for over the top, like ultra blood. And so every time you shoot a head off, like a plume of blood sprays all over the walls and it like covers the floor and everything and it'll drip off of stuff. And
well, that's fun.
Yeah. And it's, that stuff's really cool. And I, at first I did not like the roguelike aspect of it where it's fucking, it's hard. It's a hard game. Not, what's the Devil Daggers? It ain't that hard. But it's hard.
That's impossible.
But that game's really fucking hard. But it's hard, and it's because if you start playing it any way other than like a roguelike, you are going to get killed real fast, and you're going to start over at the beginning again. So it is a check your corners, push forward, and then when guys start coming at you, drop back and try to get headshots from far away kind of a game. You have limited ammunition, you know, so you need to keep moving forward to, you know, ammo up. You can get surrounded really easy. There's some interesting enemy types. One of them's like a straight up head crab ripoff from, Half-Life. But then there's kind of some brutish guys. There's little robot turrets and shit. But the AI for pretty much everything in that game, all it does is pathfind its way straight to you. It doesn't like dodge.
No flanking or
no. There's really not much going on there in the brains department. It's pretty disappointing. It's, I think the criticism I've read most about it is that, and then I was like, oh well, maybe it won't be that bad. And then it's just like clearly, because yeah, I mean, you will run down a hallway. There's a room full of guys that are relatively spread out. You'll shoot a couple. You'll aggro the rest of them. You'll back down the hallway while you're shooting them, and they literally just like line up in almost a single file line down the center of the hallway to run to you because they're just all finding the same path to your character. So, kind of a bummer from that aspect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's still fun though. Like the roguelike part of it, actually, I enjoy that a lot more because, you know, I was just like running and gunning thinking I was playing the new Doom, and it's just like, keep moving, fucking blow guys' heads off and just move and move and move and move. And it's more of a move in, back off, and try to bottleneck guys, you know, figure out ways where you have an advantage because their numbers will just overwhelm you if you are not kind of thinking about what you're doing. If you push too far and get surrounded, you're just completely fucked. So that aspect of it is kind of fun, but, yeah, if you see it for like $5, it's an interesting little shooter thing to try out. There's, you know, probably 10 other shooters you should play before that at least, but
did you say what the art style was? I'm sorry.
It's like old school, the tagline on it is the best game of 1996. So they're going for like a Doom, original Doom look and feel.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like, no, like, yeah, that's interesting, but what I wanted when I backed the Kickstarter was, sure, give me modern mechanics, but with that art style thrown over the top of it, that might be fun. But it's like they didn't hit it. They didn't. The AI is not there. Level design's okay. Even the art style gets just a little tired after a while. So, yeah, kind of mediocre. It's the last game that, and it was like 2.5 or 3 years ago that I backed this on Kickstarter. It was the last thing that I ever put money in on Kickstarter. So I'm officially out of Kickstarter.
You're done. I'm done. You Fredo'd it. You're just,
I'm out. I did play one other thing that I'll just mention quickly. It's a game we've talked about a bazillion times on here, but I was traveling a bit, in between last show and this show. And, when you're on the road, RimWorld is a great game to have along.
Sure it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I went hard back into some RimWorld. I created a new colony and have been cruising along in that game. And they've added a lot to it. I was actually kind of surprised with kind of some of the depth to it now. When we first started playing it and we're talking about it on the show, you would land on the planet and start a colony. And that was pretty much it. And so now there are events that happen where And you used to get like raiders and traders from other camps. So now like a trader will come from another camp and you can, you know, buy and sell stuff with them. But you can now send out your own trading caravans. So as you build up the population of your colony, you can specify certain colonists as members of the caravan, and you can send them to other villages to trade goods and stuff. You can actually zoom out another layer out of your base or your, you know, your little chunk of the map to a global map, and you can see previously what was just kind of fake out there in the, you know, the fog of war, other, you know, bandit camps and things like that. You can now see all of those on a globe that you can rotate, and you can set them as a waypoint, and you can deliberately take, you know, your team and go on the road and go over there and kill those guys. And they have the added in feature now too, where the ultimate goal is to get off the planet, to build a ship and get off the planet. So I was playing in my game, I was probably about 5 or 6 hours into a new map, and a window pops up and it says, oh, an AI with whom you were formerly acquainted has contacted you and said that they've located a crashed ship on the planet that you can fix up. And then the globe zooms out and it shows you. And it was like on the other side of the fucking planet from where I had landed.
Well, sure.
So the goal being build up your colony, get a whole group of people together, go fix up that ship and get off. So like there's way, way more going on there than when we originally played it. It's super crazy now. So
that's great. And did you, how far did you get?
I have like 6 or 7 colonists right now. They're all kind of whiny little fucks.
Well, sure they are.
I don't have a real standout star yet. I got a pyromaniac who doesn't like to work, so she's constantly fucking setting fires.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh,
you got to get rid of her.
Yeah. There was another new mechanic that I enjoyed. I remember previously when we would play, you would get attacked by raiders, and then you could like lock them in a prison cell and then try to convert them over to join your party.
Sure.
And now when you capture somebody, one of the first options that you have is if you go into like their little prisoner tab that kind of gives you information about, you know, what percentage chance is there to turn them to your side. There's a countdown timer in there that says considered guilty 23 hours and 12 seconds. And it's slowly counting down. And that means that you can execute them without any repercussions to the rest of your colony.
Oh, so if you give them a day to come around to your way of thinking.
Like if they sit in your prison for a day and then you execute them, your colonists will get uptight about that.
Oh, but the first day you can't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you just kind of get like a free pass, like just execute this motherfucker. He attacked us because everybody thinks they're guilty right now. So you can get away with it with no debuff on your, because previously if you like killed a prisoner, some people would be like, oh, I witnessed a murder, and they'd be all sad. And it's like, you know, buck up, soldier. So yeah, there's a lot of new stuff going on in that game. It is still early access. So they just keep doing more with that thing. But me, I brought my laptop along. We went to Minnesota and visited some family. We went for a wedding, and there was some downtime waiting around for things to happen, and having that laptop nearby with RimWorld on it was fantastic.
Yeah, I could see that being a real fun companion on a trip.
It was real. I played the tutorial again, which only takes maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I jumped right back into it and was rolling. So it was not hard to pick it all back up again. So
nice.
I'm recommending RimWorld again.
Yeah,
what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the interest of old folks home, video game wise, my pick would be Batman Arkham Asylum.
Hmm.
Which just one of those things where Power Listener Andy had mentioned that he had picked it up on the Steam sale, and I was telling him like effusively, like, man, that is a great game. Like it is, it's so focused and it doesn't have the sprawl of Arkham City, but it has all that inventive gameplay, and the combat still feels real good. And then I talked myself into playing it, And so I'm not all the way through it yet, but I'm fairly close. That was kind of my, hey, when I was on call with yeah. work, that was my game of choice.
Yeah. That one's been installed on my hard drive for a long time because I'll pop it open from time to time just to get some Batman on.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
It's, man, it continues to satisfy. So, yeah, and part of me, oh, here's something about something. So, because I was playing the Batman game, I had also downloaded Shadow of Mordor because I was like, man, I'm, you know, I might be in the mood to pop over to something that's kind of a later iteration of this. And then it turned out I was fine with Batman. But I ended up kind of double dipping on Shadow of Mordor and picked it up on the PS4 as well. But only because the PlayStation was doing one of their like super digital deals. Yeah. And so it was like $4.
That game's been on crazy sale ever since they announced the Shadow of War. It's been on sale like every other week, and I think it was $4 on the Steam sale as well. Like the game of the year, all DLC version was $4.
Yeah, and it was nice to see some parity between the PlayStation Store and Steam on something like that.
That's happening more and more often, I've seen.
Yeah, I like that trend. So I picked it up again. I was just like, yeah, I got the game on PC, which I could literally walk 40 feet further and play it there, but...
But sometimes you're already at the PlayStation.
But sometimes you're in the PlayStation Store and you see that game is $4.
Yeah.
And you're on the couch in a bit of a cookie haze.
It's $4 worth of convenience right there.
It kind of was. And the PlayStation speeds have been getting better. So
convenience has never been free. Not once in the history of man.
That is so true.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I've been playing, and I mentioned Drive Club earlier. I played a little bit of that, but that and a bit of the Rogue Legacy has also been popping up here and there when I only have a few minutes, but I want to play a little something. Rogue Legacy's been my guy, and that game's pretty fun, it turns out, especially on a handheld. I think that game's all right.
What are you playing it on?
I've played it on the 3DS.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of picking up it comes out on the 28th. The 2DS XL is coming out. I think I might be getting the boy one of those for his birthday.
Yeah. God, that game library.
Oh, I know, and that's the main reason. Like, so he's got a tablet, and he's all over the Android store. On days where I let him just kind of have a couple hours to fart around on his tablet, he installs a game, plays it for a while, can determine whether or not he likes it in about 15 minutes, and then he'll come back over and go, can I download this one? Yeah, and he'll go through like 10 games in a couple of hours, and then he'll find one that he plays for a few weeks. So it'll be nice to be able to like go to GameStop and just buy, you know, a handful of games for $20 and... That shit is cheap on the eBay, too, man. You can get tons of 3DS games for a song.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let us do a short break here. Okay. And then we'll come back with news. I'm sorry, Justin.
I said K.
Oh.
Gay.
Gay.
Did you say gay?
Okay.
Or gay?
Right, that's why I responded the way I did, because you were clearly...
Saying K?
Saying K.
¿Qué pasa?
All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is The Doom Show. Keep on keeping on and keep on trucking, America. We don't listen to our feedback because we don't get any.
The truth hurts.
I just alienated the two people that give us constant feedback. Sorry, guys.
That's gotta go
in there.
So on the show, we talk about giallo movies and slasher movies and cult movies. Sometimes we even talk about Cameron Mitchell and his movies. I am Richard. Who are you?
I am Brad, the guy that's not Richard or Jeffrey or Simon.
That's right. We have four people, and we always talk at once, except to each other.
Jeffrey lives up north. Simon lives across the world. Richard lives in Penis, Alabama.
Hello, This is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Check out the other shows on legionpodcast.com. You can check out more Hello, This is the Doom Show at hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or at doommoviethon.com.
Check for our Amazon exclusive Hello, This is the Doom Show cookbook.
Do you like hot dogs?
We got them.
Do you like mac and cheese?
We got it.
Do you like cheddar?
We have it.
Actually, we don't.
No cheddar.
Just Colby. Colby Jack.
Hello, This is the Doom Show. We never gave up on you because you never gave up on us.
Wow.
All right. Awesome. Sorry. I had to scratch myself like a gorilla for a second. Feels good, though. Like, gorillas know what the fuck is up, as many important zoologists have noted. Gorillas Know What the Fuck is Up by Jane Goodall, one of my favorite books on the subject.
It's her her debut rap album.
Yeah.
Gorillas Know What the Fuck is Up, followed by her sophomore effort, which was not as well received. But I actually kind of like Gorillas in the Hood.
Sure, with the Z.
Gorillas in the Hood.
I'll tell you, though, I am kind of a sucker for any documentary that's about an ape of some kind or a primate.
I believe we discussed the cake scene from Disney's monkey movie. I'm blanking on it.
Oh, Monkey Kingdom.
Monkey Kingdom.
Yeah,
excellent. It's great. Excellent film.
Yeah, really is. Yeah. There's a great... that thing is chock full of monkeys, and they are a delight. But it tells a great story of, like, you know, the monkey that came from nothing.
Yes.
Which is great. Now I want to watch Monkey Kingdom again. But
I'm just going to go watch Congo.
Okay. Accurate.
You do you, but...
There is a documentary, I think, on Netflix... that was sort of one of like a PBS documentary about Coco the gorilla, the sign language gorilla, and Coco's owner and all that stuff. And it was fascinating, like how famous this gorilla got and never had kids, which is a shame. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's really something, and I love any of those specials where it's like, this monkey can talk to you, Bo. And I'm like, I want to talk to that monkey so bad.
Yeah.
I can taste it like a banana on my tongue. I can taste my desire to talk to an honest-to-goodness monkey.
It's good that we're getting this out.
Yeah, it feels a little confessional tonight.
Do you feel better?
I do. Yeah. You're gonna
sleep like a baby tonight.
Oh, for the first time in months. it's been building inside me. So the time has come, folks, for us to talk about news in the world of video games. And I can think of no better person to bring that information to us than Walter Cronkite. But that man is dead.
Tried to get him, though. I mean, that didn't stop us from doing some pretty sketchy shit.
Just a word of warning, when you leave a session with a Ouija board, you say goodbye.
Yeah.
But yeah, my apartment is haunted as fuck now. But no, Walter Cronkite could not be with us. Instead, we have one John Dolan. Sir. Yeah.
You know.
It's almost as good.
I'm here to fill in.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you're doing until we can, you know, get hold of
him. Get Walter back.
Hoary deals with the underworld. But yeah, so news related, what's going on?
In a ironic turn of events, ZeniMax is being sued by somebody, which is kind of funny.
Go on.
You remember a guy from like the 60s named Dion who sang the song The Wanderer?
I do, and it's a great song.
It is a great song. ZeniMax used that in a promotional ad for Fallout 4.
I remember the ad. It was wonderful.
Yes, there were lots of heads and limbs and things exploding and blood everywhere. Apparently, Dion didn't really care for that commercial, and he is now suing Xenium X, and it gets a little twisted up what happened here. What's the quote here? As reported by The Wrap, Dion found the ads, quote, objectionable because they featured repeated homicides in a dark dystopian landscape where violence is glorified as sport. The killings and physical violence were not to protect innocent life, but instead were repugnant and morally indefensible images designed to appeal to young consumers. Yeah. It's Fallout.
Yeah, and the... Or, so...
So, they got permission to use this song. Xenium X got permission. Let me get the specifics here. Dion made an arrangement with record label UMG Recordings to license his 1961 classic tune to Xenium X, but he was supposed to be able to bargain for a better rate or prohibit use of the song altogether if he didn't like the way in which it was being used. Dion claimed that Xenium X never reached out to him, and he didn't know his work was being used until after the ads ran. He had been given a heads up. Where's the quote? He could have either pulled the song, convinced Xenium X to make these ads tell the story of a post-apocalyptic struggle for survival without craven violence, which sounds really boring, or renegotiated a higher fee, and this is my favorite part, to overcome the negative association he saw in those promos. So this horrible violence is totally not okay unless I get more money.
The man wrote a that, good song.
That's where you lost me with your whole argument.
Well,
man.
And in fairness, that's the part of the article that's not in quotes. So yeah. That seems somewhat speculative.
Yes.
But I mean, it's not hard to follow those breadcrumbs to that conclusion.
Yeah.
But in fairness, that is not what Dion said or his representatives.
So, like, we talk about Xenium X and their lawsuits fairly often on this show, but like, this guy's got no fucking idea what he just got himself into. Like, Dion does not have Xenium X money. So.
Do you think since the Oculus thing got settled, Xenium X just has a room full of lawyers like caged somewhere? They're just like
waiting for the next thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw him some meat.
Right. It's like, hey everybody, it's Dion. And the lawyers are just just after him.
He just gets completely shredded and it's over in 3 seconds.
Right. That's the they'd cat and mouse him a little bit because like you don't want to go right back to the cage.
I don't know. I think it would just be like pack of wolves.
They just can't control themselves.
Just rip you apart, man.
Blood in the water and all reason flies out.
Yep, and then you're 99% clean skeleton slowly drifts to the bottom of the ocean. That's the end of that story.
Yeah, it's like the movie Piranha.
Yeah. Just,
and
without the Sharknado, exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I'm sure their argument's going to be, no, we got rights to use the song. So, whatever.
Yeah, and... You know,
I can see his side of it. Like, it's a classic song, and the whole idea behind using it is the juxtaposition between that song style and the violence on the screen. Like, it's not a particularly clever ad. Like, that's been done before. It was just done really well in that ad. Like, it looks really cool. They cut it really well.
Right. And if his if his contract actually says, hey, he's got final approval.
Yeah.
Then Xenium X fucked up. That's in the contract, then he
but that doesn't mean shit because they have more money and more lawyers. So exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what settles this is who's got the legal team and the cash. So there'll be a settlement. That's what Xenium X does. Yeah, they pay out settlements.
Oh, sure. And they'll probably throw him a couple of hundred grand and.
Yeah.
You know, like, enjoy the next cruise ship you're on, Dion.
Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, sorry. No.
Damn.
I have no idea. That's just a joke. The man could be living high on the hog.
Playing state fairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's better. No, you're right. You're right.
It is. It's better than cruise ship. It is better than cruise ship. Yes. But it's, I mean, it's still State Fair.
Spinal Tap went State Fair. Yeah. They never went cruise ship. So
I mean, Dion must be so fucking tired of listening to the Statler Brothers in Chicago, though.
Oh, my God. But honestly, as
some State Fair ass music right
as
there.
As far as I'm concerned, that's fucking where Chicago belongs, at a State Fair. Stand by that. Chicago has everyone fooled. It's not a good band.
Featuring not Peter Cetera.
Right. The one thing you got going for you is Peter Cetera. If you're...
I made it. They had a good brass section.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It's just I'm not saying I'm a huge Chicago fan or anything, but they've got five or six, you know, classic hits.
Oh God, that Saturday in the Park song is just positively unlistenable to me.
It's good to know. I'm gonna go delete it off on my playlist now.
No, I understand that other people like it. I just think everyone else is wrong. Anyway, that has nothing to do with Dion. What's going on? Moving on
through the news. Yeah, Dion and ZeniMax will fight that out in the Thunderdome. We'll report back what happens.
Unless somebody gets smedleyed first.
Yeah. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has been pushed back. There was lots of talk about we will have this game done in 6 months. They haven't really pushed it back that far, though. They said we want to make sure that we give ourselves time to finish it, so they have delayed it from what they were saying would be October to fourth quarter, which is anywhere from October to December. So they gave themselves a few months extra worth of window to finish off. Go right ahead. That's fine.
Right. You've already got a great game out there.
Yeah, seriously. Like, so I can keep what you've got here is fine. I'll just keep playing this. Don't worry about it. You know.
Right. Like, hey. Just sit down for a second, man. Hey, yeah. PlayerUnknown, have some herbal tea. It's cool.
They're on the road to showing people how to do early access very well.
Yeah.
So
get in and get out. Like, start strong, run it to tune it, and then bada bing, bada.
And don't put it on there and make it available until the shit is at least fucking playable. You know? That's what they did well. From the moment we started playing Battlegrounds, it has worked mostly fine. Like, I've experienced very few bugs.
Yeah, so it's like the goateed Spock of Star Citizen, where that's just this big buggy mess, but it could be something wonderful.
Yeah,
where you know, Battleground was just like, oh no, this is awesome right from jump. This is everything you need to play this game and enjoy it.
So they're working on it. They seem to be real good about weekly updates and pushing out small, bite-sized, you know, chunks to the live servers. And some of the improvements they've made have been kind of interesting. Like, they made it so that cars don't all face the same direction at spawn, which was kind of a fun update, because then that whole tactic just went away of, oh, that car is facing east and no one has touched it yet. So
reminds me, I meant to ask Justin, are you going to play the first-person server?
Oh, yeah. That's happening.
Okay.
For sure. You know how I feel about that. I know. I think...
I know. All right.
It's cool, baby.
I think the third-person servers are fun, for sure. But I think we'll play a round of first-person, and your heart rate will be even higher than...
As long as there's an FO... before. As long as there's an FOV slider.
That's what they said.
Because sometimes it is... Yeah. I've yet to play a game where the initial setting for the field of view feels comfortable to me. I always end up dialing it back.
Just once they have it in VR.
Get yourself one of the... What's the little treadmill thing called? I always forget the name of the product.
I'll get just use the keyboard.
What's it called?
Things.
Omni.
The Omni. The Omni treadmill, yeah. Get one of those. Man, I'll drop 50 pounds in like 10 days.
I don't think this game's all about running. Yeah, I don't think that's healthy. I don't think you should. It seems like that would cause systemic harm.
I won't have time to eat, so. Too busy murdering.
Right, but still, such a sudden loss in weight, usually. Yeah. Let me tell you about John McCain. I don't know if you heard about this. Yeah, so we
Go ahead. No.
No, I'm done. No. Look, know your limits. That's important in life. But we didn't have our Battlegrounds minute earlier, but yeah, it's like they have continued to just improve that game in ways that don't break what makes the game great.
Yep.
And yeah, I was, before you got on, Justin and I were having this whole long conversation about how I've been like, man, I've been out of the loop. I almost feel bad because the next time we play, I'm going to feel like I'm bringing the team down.
We've changed tactics like 3 times since the last time I played with you.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to jumping back in, and I feel like I've been watching a bunch of videos and stuff at work. That's kind of my stress ball at work is watching.
It's really good for that, man. Like, I don't watch a lot of stream games, but it's fun to watch this game.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't been ignoring it. It's been on my mind. I just haven't been playing it a bunch. And but we're going to rectify that. I'm about to fucking kill someone. I need to. I need to, John.
It's good for the murdering. It's one of the best murdering games I think I've played. So, which brings us into our next story related to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I'm not one that normally goes in for the Twitch / streamer drama crap. But I am kind of interested in the initial part of this, where a popular streamer on Twitch, and I forgot his fucking name.
Dr. Disrespect.
Dr. Disrespect, yes. He's kind of doing like a character, almost like playing a heel a little bit on purpose.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, his whole character is going, I mean, he goes after people and kind of bullies people in game and just...
Yeah.
And he's wearing sunglasses on the stream. He grew out this stupid mustache. He oftentimes is wearing like a leather jacket.
Yeah. So he's playing a part.
He definitely is very much like a wrestler.
Yeah.
Heel, like you said.
Yeah. So he was on a stream. He was streaming some gameplay in Battlegrounds, and he and a couple of his friends got auto-matched up with a fourth player. And at one point during the round, they found a motorcycle with a sidecar, and he and his two buddies, who he knew and was chatting with voice chat, got on the bike, and were going to take the bike, and Dr. Disrespect killed the fourth guy, team-killed the guy on their team who couldn't get on the bike, who was like their auto match. It was a random player. And there's a rule stated by the makers of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds that team killing is not allowed in this game, period. And apparently one of the developers was watching his stream or was made aware of what happened on his stream. And after he finished playing that round, he was banned from PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for team killing. An ill-advised response immediately took to Twitter and, you know, started complaining about it. But it kind of went haywire when he... Where is it? I'll read the actual tweet here. He ended up kind of getting into a Twitter war with... what's the guy's name? Brian? No, Brendan Green, the PlayerUnknown himself. They started going back and forth at each other on Twitter over the incident a little bit, and Dr. Disrespect, after this incident, defended himself as he was in character during this, but he tweeted, "If I could do the splits, I'd roundhouse kick you in the neck. But since I can't, I'll just front kick you in the chest instead. Lightning, Dr. Disrespect." So then Brandon Green's tweet back to him was suggesting violence... Where is it? Oh, sorry. "Suggesting violence is the best way to solve a disagreement is just wrong, even if you are playing a character." And he goes on to explain later, after this incident happened, that when he was in college, he got into a fight with a flatmate of his, and it got violent, and the guy actually kicked him in the chest through a plate glass door. And kind of went on to explain, you know, this Dr. Disrespect guy had no way of knowing that the threat that he made, even in jest, was actually something that happened to him in real life. He made the point that, you know, you just don't know what people's history are, and if you said something like that to them, how it might affect them, even if it was a joke, and just kind of made the point that that's just not cool. And the Dr. Disrespect guy kind of said, yeah, what the fuck ever, and went on and started playing the Destiny 2 beta. But there's, like, people kind of taking sides on this issue. And I guess for me, it boils down to, it's clearly stated in the rules for this game that if you team kill, you can get banned. And then the story ends up being that he only got banned for 24 hours. And so people are like, oh, they're just making an example out of him because he's a big, powerful streamer. And why would you do that to a guy who's making your game popular and all this shit? But he broke the fucking rules. So,
well,
you know, if you, and obviously this fourth reported him because, or no, I mean, they, people saw it, but if it's just us playing together, like the four, you know, us and a couple of friends or whatever, and we team kill, we're not going to get banned because somebody needs to report you for it. So,
right, exactly. And I mean, it sucks on the one level of like, hey, like looking at it from the player's point of view, it, in a perfect world, he would have recognized who he was playing with and thought that was cool or whatever. More
but,
likely.
I mean, it, there's a couple of sides of it too, because he didn't need to kill that guy. He could have just let him keep playing.
Right. It was a gag and, you know, yeah. But it kind of sucks because that player, the guy behind the keyboard playing, you know, Battlegrounds, suddenly got killed by one of his teammates, and that sucks. And, you know, Justin and I were talking about this a little bit earlier that I don't think it's unreasonable to think that the ban was, yes, because he was a big streamer, but because the game has had a bit of a problem with that. And it's like, okay, well, here's somebody high profile that we make an example of and then let him back in and say, like, that's not cool. You know,
that's totally what it was. And why wouldn't you take advantage of that opportunity as a developer? Oh, we can give this guy a 24-hour ban, which is serious enough because, I mean, it shows that they're serious about that rule because this guy is a very popular streamer and he is making their game more well-known by doing it. And if they're willing to ban him, it shows that they're serious about making sure that this kind of shit doesn't happen in their game. So it was a perfect opportunity for them to do it. So, I don't know. I'm fine with it. I don't...
He's playing the game again. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm sure he's already back to it. Like, this happened a couple days ago or something like that, so...
Yeah, it's just weird. I agree with the make an example kind of out of him a little bit. And at the same time, it probably just gave the game even more publicity.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. So, yeah, interesting. It's just like the whole where it veers off into the, even if the guy's just fucking around. I mean, I have to agree that it's like, can we just not go that far?
What I could see is maybe that Mr. Dr. Disrespect PhD has maybe had some exclusive access to pub content. Maybe he's been playing some of the special matches and stuff. And maybe Mr. PlayerUnknown himself was like, man, you know, this really isn't cool. This guy has sort of like inside access to the game.
Yeah.
Probably knows about some things that are coming. And yet he still chooses to
talk shit. Yeah.
The simplest rule in the game and kill this player when, like we said, like we've had a game where we matched up with a person. I wanted to kill him. We didn't kill him. And then we ended up winning that game.
Yeah.
And we totally like separated from that person. And then they met up with us and just we won. So it's like, you know.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. That guy could have stumbled around, found a car, and then went and met up with him. But whatever. Yeah.
I mean, and it's also the thing that bothers me about the Twitter war afterwards is you got busted. Like, you broke the rules and you got busted.
Yeah.
So why are you being a dick?
He's just being the character, though.
Yeah, you know? I mean, but still, totally it's
just being a troll to be a troll.
You got to know when, you know?
Right. And I would be interested to know if, like, did he ever at least fire a, you know, I'm going to put this in parentheses, but just like, hey, thanks for the great game or whatever. Like, if he's just totally being a jerk and that's his character, that's fine, I guess. But there's a time and a place to just make a human connection, especially at a time like this.
I just don't find being an asshole all that creative. Like, it's not hard to be an asshole.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's that. I wasn't going to...
Yeah.
I'm not here to criticize the man's art, John.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... I'm not opposed to, you know, buddies sitting around talking shit to each other's faces and having a good time, you know, digging on each other. Like, that's just something people do, you know, when you're comfortable with a group of people, that's funny. But, like, they don't, these guys don't really know each other. And you're just like, I'm gonna kick you in the chest. Ha, ha, ha. You know,
maybe
like, you may be saying that in joke, but how many people are reading that? That's like, yeah, fuck that guy, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I should start a stream character, Professor Respectful.
You have the perfect voice for it.
Respecto the robot.
Sorry, but I have to kill you now.
Yes. Sorry, Dave.
What if you were Respecto the robot and much like Lieutenant Data, were constantly striving for emotion? That's your character.
But the only emotion that I'm striving for is the instant regret that comes after murdering.
You want to feel guilty. Yeah, I like it.
The only emotion I've not been able to feel yet.
Cut to the scene where your robotic thumbs are slowly shoving someone's eyeballs out the back of their skull and you're just going, I just want to feel.
You know, it's funny because there's an entire episode of The Next Generation where Data does that. He kills a Borg and gets really angry and then that's not supposed to happen. And then he just spends like a day in the holodeck just murdering Borg with his bare hands. And he's like, I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
I could do this forever. Like,
just want to feel.
Respect, Spoiler alert, wants your love.
It was his evil brother that was secretly
lore
beaming emotions into
him. That's your Star Trek minute.
That's the way it goes.
That's classic lore.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I hate this kind of drama shit, but I wanted to talk about it because of the more so the aspect of them being serious about combating shit that can ruin a game. Like, you get a bunch of trolls in there that just team kill every time, and that, fuck that. Like, it will make people not auto match anymore if that kind of shit happens. So that's
hopefully
a problem.
Get a nice system in to report people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to boil down to video evidence. So, but that, I mean, built with their replay system, that problem is solved. You know, you just export the replay and send it to them and say, watch, this guy just fucking team kills us all. So that's a powerful tool to have in your game.
I would I would like to have the job where you watch team kill videos or reports of it. Because, you know, sometimes it would just be wrong. Just be like, no, man, you just got murdered.
Yeah, sorry, you just suck, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I saw how you were behaving, and I'm on their side.
Yeah, it'd be like, you literally jumped in front of him when he was shooting someone else. That was all you. That was your fault.
Sounds like a terrible job.
Right.
Oh, God. Let's see. We talked about Middle Earth a little bit. The new Shadow of War, they built a system where you can, if you own Shadow of Mordor, you can go back into that game. They provided an update for it that allows you to go into the menus and you can export, let me get this right, your top nemesis from Shadow of Mordor into your Shadow of War game, and they will reappear as a continuing character in your game, which is, that's cool as shit. Yeah. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, it's real neat. Everything about this game sounds real neat. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah. So that's it for that. I just thought that was a cool little, Yes, here's a nice nod to how awesome that last game was with the kind of a simple, you know, pulls in some of the stats. They'll have some of the history and stuff. And that's
right.
And then you can also, you can pull in a supporter as well. That was the other part of it. So one of your top people that you had, I forget what the, like, you don't possess them. I forget what the term was in the game.
Brain whammied.
Yeah, brain whammied. Bring in your top brain whammied guy, and he will also appear in the game as an ally. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the kind of minutiae of all the castle management and battle management stuff sounds real appealing to me. That all sounds real fun.
But it seems like you don't necessarily have to engage with it fully.
Yeah,
like you can just still go in there, guns blazing, and chop heads off
and get away with it. Yeah. Oh, I meant to mention this earlier when we were talking about games, and because this game has dragons. So I played a bunch of Diablo recently because they released the Necromancer character, and I got that DLC and played a bunch of that. And only worth mentioning because that Necromancer character is real fun to play. It's her little totem or whatever, like the witch doctor had the head. Hers is a pulsing heart.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Is that a pay?
Yeah, DLC? Yeah. Okay. And they weren't shy about charging for it.
No, okay.
It's like $15. So hold off on it. Like, I don't think it's worth the $15, but I'm enough of a nerd for Diablo that was like, oh my God, there's a new character? And so immediately gave them my money. And
I played some Diablo 3 today.
Yeah, it's super fun. It was, it's Diablo, but, they're constantly adding stuff to it. All these little after game missions and enemy types and stuff like that. So there are moments I get into that game where I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on in this game anymore. Like, I knew that they had seasons. That's cool. But all of a sudden it's like, you know, here's a stat list that you can only open up by using the, you know, Orb of Khaantoon. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. That seems like something important. And
I need at least two of those.
Yeah. I should have at least 12 or 13 of them things. But yeah, anyway, so sorry to interrupt the news, but I felt like it was worth mentioning that yes, there's a new character for Diablo. Yes, it is fun. Yes, it is overpriced.
We can stop and talk about Diablo whenever anybody wants.
Right, That's just fine. A standing rule on the Shodcast is any insertion of Diablo stories, even if it's just like, you know what, that Diablo cover, it's cool.
We don't talk about it every week, but there are, I would imagine I play Diablo at least once every 2 weeks at a minimum, because it's just such an easy game to jump in and out of.
Yeah. My favorite thing in the world is a Saturday afternoon where I can throw on a podcast and listen to it and play Diablo. Yeah, I mean, you're right in the high country them days. hey, John, I got a stupid question. Do you have any news stories about really boring truck simulators?
Funny, you should ask. Justin, what is it? Oh, is it American Trucker? Is that the game?
Yeah, like American Truck Simulator.
American Truck Simulator. Yeah. In an effort to be more trucky,
as immersive as possible.
Have changed one of the routes in their game, the famous California Highway 1 that runs along the coast. In real life, had a giant landslide near Big Sur, California, I believe it was, that completely obscured a large section of the road. So they added it to their game, which is interesting, I guess.
I mean, does anybody here play these games?
I have tried Euro Truck Simulator. I think I got it for free at one point, and it was so fucking irritating just because I didn't feel like I had any real sort of control over it. I mean, I equate it to when you're playing Grand Theft Auto, stopping at all the red lights.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There are people who are, I mean, this game's hugely popular, so it's doing something right.
And maybe it's that thing of just like, oh, I can play this game and it kind of puts me in a zen place.
Yep.
Because otherwise, I don't see the appeal.
I think you can play it online and convoy with people and all that kind of crap.
So you can all drive boring trucks together?
Yeah.
But not down California's Highway 1 for the foreseeable future.
Not
anymore. Right.
Change the route up.
Yeah. Because in the real world, you can't do that either. So you can't have that in the game anymore.
I mean, is it that one-to-one? How far can I drive?
Like, there's... I don't think it's a one-to-one simulation, but there are, like, a lot of, you know, straight-up 100% simulated routes in these games where it's the, like, they drove a car down and took pictures of the fucking road, and that's the map that you're driving on.
So, like, do you have to pull over and get some rest and... in the game?
I don't know, man. I don't play this game either.
Because now I'm starting to get into it. Now it's you're just like the life of a trucker simulator.
That's right.
Which I've always been curious.
Eastbound and down, motherfucker.
Mostly because I love methamphetamines and questionable prostitutes.
They used to call them bennies.
Yeah.
Back when I was a truck driver, we called them bennies.
Sure, I remember those days.
Yeah.
You coming in from the road.
Back when California Highway 1 was open.
I forgot that's where this started.
Yeah, don't go that way. You can't get through.
All right.
Yeah.
Even in VR, like, I don't know, no matter how you pretty up this game.
I think, you know what I think it is much like people get kind of goofy for, locomotives, trains, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Okay.
People have an affinity for 18 wheelers.
You mean?
Or even just like airplane like hardcore airplane simulators.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing.
But then you're flying. Yeah. I mean, like, flying takes, you know, years of training and all that stuff. Get a truck driver. I'm not diminishing what truck drivers do at all. Because I don't need them beating me up.
But what I'm talking about is a airplane game where your entire goal is to get in the 747 and fly from, like, you know, BNA to, you know, Baltimore International Airport, land, and then turn around and come back. And that's the entire loop of gameplay. It's not, oh, you're in an F-16 and it took you 20 minutes to turn all the switches to get on and now you're blowing crap up. It's the highlight of your game is you had to press all these switches. Now you're basically just flying in a straight line and going from one altitude to another altitude for the next hour and 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
that same thing where you get in that. And, well, now I'm just driving the truck and it's that zen out. It's totally that. Now you've got that long stretch of time to just
maybe you sit in an office all day and you just want to get out on the open road.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But I understand the airplane thing more than I do the truck because, again, you're flying through the air like magic. There's some fantasy fulfillment in that as opposed to,
someone who had never seen an 18-wheeler rolling down the highway might think that that was some sort of wizardry as well.
Right. Who blind people? I mean, who hasn't seen this? Who is unfamiliar with the concept?
In a time travel scenario.
Well, now you're just being silly.
Right.
If only the U.S. trucks in the game would add the maximum overdrive mod.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys saw. I recently watched that, and unironically, I love that movie.
That movie's great.
You posted about that, and then I watched it the next day, and I was like, yeah, this movie is just as good as I remember it being.
I mean, it's terrible, but it's also amazing.
That's one of my favorite, like, we should watch a movie on Halloween night. Mm-hmm. Let's watch Maximum Overdrive. Yeah. It's such a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just got a great vibe to it. I love it.
Oh, man, that soundtrack.
Hey, Dad, Curtis.
Hey, Dad. Curtis.
God. Oh, when the... I blinked on it the other night, and it's going to happen to me again. The lead actress in Maximum Overdrive... every time she refers to Emilio Estevez as hero, it actually makes me cringe, like physically cringe at how dumb that is. Yeah. But then you have the Green Goblin truck, which is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah, it's. I remember seeing Maximum Overdrive as a kid, I think on TV, and just being utterly terrified of that truck. Like, I didn't need really any context, just seeing it and just being utterly terrified of it.
That truck's alive. It murders people.
There's also, you know, a flatbed trailer with an M60 machine gun just mounted on it that somehow just, you know, works itself completely. which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
And tale of a comet.
It's basically the end of Breaking Bad.
comet dust particles from the comet.
And
I mean,
an ATM there was, that calls Stephen
there
King
was,
an asshole.
Yeah, that was great.
There was a Sony Walkman that strangled a person with the headphone cord.
Dude, that...
Explain that one to me.
One of my favorite shots in that whole movie is the shot of the kid riding through the neighborhood on his bike. And that mower that's just like, huh? Who's that? And then starts taking off after him. It's one of the funniest things that ever happened.
Yeah. There's just a ton of those in that. Like the baseball coach getting the fucking can of pop in the head and everybody's laughing, and then they just show this massive hematoma on his forehead that's just bleeding all over the place.
Right. It's funny till it gets real, and then these kids, oh, they got to grow up fast in that world.
The fucking guy that gets crushed by the dummy scene under the steamroller. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that whole movie's great.
Look, we could sit around and talk about Maximum Overdrive all night. Which,
from the jump, man, the bridge scene with all the cars. Come on.
What is the sign flash? Crap. There's like the flashing traffic sign gets sassy, and I can't remember exactly what it flashes, but it's something real bad as well. Oh my god. And like the negative chemistry between Emilio Estevez and this actress. I mean,
oh yeah.
It under no circumstances should any kiss be that awkward on a film. Oh, anyway, it's wonderful. Everyone should see Maximum Overdrive multiple times a year.
Multiple times, yeah.
Speaking of cars that go fast.
Nice. It's almost like you have the list in front of you. We talk about this game all the time, but I just keep updating it because it's a great game. Rocket League announced they will be updating the current game for several more years rather than releasing a sequel. Fantastic. I think that's brilliant. I mean, it's working for a lot of other games. We were just talking about fucking Diablo. It works. Yeah. You got a good game, just kind of maintain, you know?
Yeah, and it's on an engine that's still being developed, so if there is some like major advance, they can probably just incorporate that into the game already.
Well, and then the second story I had here, when you consider that they are celebrating their anniversary by announcing that they have 33 million players registered for Rocket League, that's crazy. Yeah,
man, that PlayStation launch was just perfect for that game.
It was so smart, man. I mean, it seemed crazy at the time, but it has done nothing but good things for that game. I mean, that's another one I played on my laptop while I was traveling. I played a few rounds of Rocket League. I had my brother-in-law had never seen it before, and I was like, "Oh, you got to check this shit out!" And it runs just fine on my laptop. So
yeah, I mean, it's not super intensive. It's just cool.
Yeah,
And I bet they're making money hand over fist with all that cosmetic stuff.
Oh yeah,
I mean, they get the right combination. I'm there too. I'm not above it. Don't kid yourself. They're like, hey, here's the, I don't know, what's a bad example? 18 van, some I would never buy, but you tell me it's available. Maybe. Like when they had Back to the Future,
$1.99. Yeah, all right, that's $1.99 worth of funny.
Or like $2 for the Ecto-1, which I think is available actually. And
yeah, as long as it has the siren sound effect.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It plays the Bus Boy song the entire match.
There you go. that's what you hear every time somebody's using boost on that thing. It's just the Bus Boys.
Uh huh. Just that piano rolls in. That would be great. I would pay $5 for that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What do you got to add to it to make it $10?
Oh.
I know. I'm putting you on the spot. It's
hard. Yeah, yeah. No, I think when you score a goal, the library ghost would have to explode out of the goal.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Like that. Yeah.
Then that's that's the best $10 I ever spent.
Bill Murray asks you if you're menstruating.
Yeah. Or, but, like, has to get your name right. That's yeah. for 10 bucks. I expect
my Are name. You Barilla menstruating right now?
Yeah. And I would laugh.
As a result of your hat trick.
That's cool. I mean, God bless them. They are yeah. absolutely yeah. just...
Keep on going.
I mean, like Battlegrounds, like the two great examples of how you engage your audience and how you keep them around. And, oh, yeah, Rick and Morty shit. Okay, all right. Now we're talking.
Some Rick and Morty skins in Battlegrounds?
No. No,
I know. I'm joking.
Oh, right. You sent the article to me. Shit. Very sneaky, John.
The SNES Classic. Did we? I don't know if we ever talked about this on the show. Like, it kind of came out around E3. They announced that they were going to be doing the SNES Classic, just much like the NES Classic that was all the rage last holiday season. They are releasing. I'm having a hard time getting excited about these things because to me they're essentially the mall kiosk selling the, you know, Intellivision 20 pack thing.
Yeah.
The fuck is everybody getting so excited about?
I don't know,
they
man.
They just like, don't. They don't make them enough of them, so they're valuable that way.
Yeah.
And
but you can go just buy if like if you're interested in playing Super Nintendo games, go buy a Super Nintendo. You can get them. They're everywhere.
It's like people just forgot they exist.
Or perhaps there are ways to play any game that has ever been.
Yeah.
That would literally require more brain power than just going to a store and trying to buy an SNES.
It, like, I understand it as a stocking stuffer and all that stuff. Like, I do think it's great in that regard.
But not with the you know, the fake scarcity that right. they've created. That's the with
thing.
These things.
Like, if you're going to do it, then put it out there and let it be a thing that every mom can pick up for, or better yet, any uncle can pick up for a nephew. Yeah. And just be like, hey, here's a bunch of cool games from when I was a kid.
Well, and you know it's bullshit because the story is, well, we're going to try to make more. We're going to try to not have it. Oh, bullshit. It's you're going to do the exact same thing. Anyway, the story I sent.
Yeah. So what happened to it?
So eBay, specifically because of the NES Classic situation where scalpers were buying them all up and then selling them on eBay for crazy money. They instituted a new rule that will not let you sell pre-release items on eBay any closer than 30 days before the item actually comes out. So they like turned off a whole bunch of people that were already selling guaranteed auctions for the SNES Classic. I don't think 30 days is enough, honestly. Like, if you can't prove that you have the thing in your possession, you shouldn't be able to put a fucking auction on eBay.
Yeah. I would almost say go the other way with it, where it's like, well, you can't sell anything 30 days after it releases.
Something. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, eBay's getting their cut of all that shit, so of course they want these people to sell these fucking things at an astronomical profit, but I don't know. Like, the good side of the story was there's, I forget which store it was, but I think it's Amazon. Yeah, retailers like Amazon have already been forced to implement a 1 unit per customer limit because of scalpers. That's how you solve that problem right there. Like, if you're a store, it's a 1 per person, and if it's got, you know, this false scarcity built into it, you're going to sell them all anyway. So it doesn't fucking matter to the shopkeepers whether or not they let some guy buy 50 of these fucking things.
Right. Then I just have a dozen Amazon accounts and I pre-order.
Yeah. Yeah.
For each account.
Yeah. Like if you're going to go to those links, fine. Because you got to put a credit card that's different into each one of those. That's a pain in the ass. So
not if I'm making that sweet SNES money, man. Rolling in scarce Nintendo dough.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line for this thing is it's worth it, as you said, as a stocking stuffer at asking price. But if you have to buy one off eBay and it's marked up even slightly, this is not worth it. Like, go get your kid a take this money and put it towards a PS4 or an Xbox or a 2DS XL or a Switch or something like that. Like, if you really want your kids to experience these games, or if you're a person who is older and never played the SNES and you want, go buy a real one and the library, like, then go on eBay and buy the actual cartridges for a real Super Nintendo and get them for super fucking cheap and get all the games you want. And on this thing, there's gonna, I don't even remember what the number is.
It
like
is...
20 or 30 games. I don't think it's in this article.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the game list right now.
Yeah, but it's not a lot. Like, there's plenty of games that if you're interested in playing the Super Nintendo, that you should play that aren't going to be available on this thing. So,
19 games is what you
that's
got.
That's it. Yeah, see,
I know $80 seems steep for this.
It's not worth it. It's that is absolutely not worth it.
I mean, they're cool games.
Yeah, not that cool. Not yeah, $80 cool.
I don't think so. But I mean, you could probably get your time out of that. Like, if you were just looking for the ROI, if I finished all of these games, like, you got some Final Fantasy III in there, you got some Secret of Mana. Those are some RPGs that are going to take you some time. Super Mario.
All right, RPG. I'm looking at eBay right now. Super Nintendo console with two controllers and cords, $40.
Yeah, that's
Super Nintendo system with two controllers. This one looks like it's in real nice shape. $89. Here's one with a buttload of games. Looks like about 25 games. Controllers. There's a whole bunch of accessories. They have a buy it now for $295. Like, that's, you could spend. Here's another one. Here's one in the fucking box. An original Super Nintendo in the box for $200. Wow, crazy.
All right.
There's tons of game lots on here. Like, you can just, I don't get it. Yeah. All right.
People will continue to disappoint you, John.
And in the meantime, you can't fucking find a Switch anywhere. You just, if you want one of those, you can't buy one. You got to go camp out fucking stores to go get one. Like, the console you actually want, they don't have those either. Like, what in the fuck is Nintendo doing right now?
That's what's kept me from getting a Switch, is the fact that I can't impulsively do it.
I was thinking of getting one for my son for his birthday, and I switched over to the 2DS because I don't want to pay over asking price for a console that in a few months you'll be able to get for the normal price or cheaper. Like, it seems like there's a, that is interesting to me as well, because it seems like there's almost a false scarcity for the Switch because there are not a lot of games for it. And so there, it's, you know, you could theorize that they're keeping the production numbers down until the library is bigger. I don't know. I'm not sure why you would do that, but it just seems weird. It's suspicious to me. I don't know.
Speaking of stupid console ideas, shall we turn our attention from Nintendo to old rival Atari?
Atari?
What is this thing?
Nobody fucking knows.
It's an Ouya.
Yeah, that's kind of the what people have been starting to say about it. So, for anybody that doesn't know, Atari is making a new, quote, and this is my quotes I'm putting on this, console, that they are saying will have classic games, but also, what is their language? I don't want to say new games, but they say, I can't find it. They're alluding to the fact that there will be new games for it. What that means exactly, they haven't said. They're just like basically no details available on this thing. I can't get excited about this at all. Like, one thing I'm totally not excited about is playing classic Atari games, because most of those games suck.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out we've come a long way.
They're really bad. Like, give me some Yar's Revenge. That is a classic that will always be a classic.
I can play some River Raid right now.
River Raid's fine, you know, but there's not a lot of stuff on there that I need to see again. Pac-Man's fucking atrocious on that system. Like, combat, yeah, that was fun, but it's...
But it's all we knew, John. It's all we knew.
Yeah, I know. And back then, it was great. Those were fucking great games back then. Now, they just... It's like, oh, they're a novelty. It's like Oregon Trail. One of my finest memories of gaming is playing a lot of Oregon Trail, but, you know, I've gone back to it recently. It's like, yeah, okay, that's enough of that. I saw what it was again. Like, there's no reason to play it.
No.
Anymore.
Nope.
That's how I feel about old, you know, Atari 2600 games.
You know.
There's very, very few of them that I'm interested in putting any amount of time into because they're just dated. They're old. They are what they are, but. So the only thing that could be even remotely appealing about this new Atari box is new games, and what in the fuck could that even be? I have no idea.
Yeah, this whole thing seems ill-conceived.
It seems like a cash grab on the heels of the NES Classic and now the SNES Classic.
Yeah, sure, but again, I don't know that there's that much nostalgia because Nintendo at least continues to make stuff, and Atari, not so much. You know,
shit, and forever.
Right, like I don't remember the last game I saw an Atari logo in front of, much less back in the day when they were actually doing hardware.
Like I would love it if Atari came back and was a competitor in the console market. That would be super cool.
Oh, but, yes, 100%.
Yeah, but that's. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, if they came in like, this is the sleekest, fastest motherfucker you've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll VR. Of course it's got VR. You just don't need the headset on this one. You know, that kind of stuff.
It just beams it right into your fucking retinas.
Have you seen Black Mirror? That's what you got, man.
We just did that.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody's going to die using this thing. And like, I would be there day one. Yes, please. How can I risk my life?
They're like, actually, three people already have.
Three people already. God, do I have to pay extra for that? Just to know that? Yeah, that would be great, but that's not what this is.
We can't tell you any details about it because it's going to fucking kill you.
Because we don't have any. We've got this form factor design.
Yeah.
And look at this thing. It glows. That's pretty cool, right, everyone?
The quote from Atari is wonderfully vague. We know you are hungry for more details on specs, games, features, pricing, timing, etc. We're not teasing you intentionally. We want to get this right, so we've opted to share things step by step as we bring Atari Box to life and listen closely to the Atari community feedback as we do so. Basically, translation, what do you guys want it to be?
Hey guys, I'm pitching this movie. What do you like?
I'm pitching this movie. It's got opening credits and it's got ending credits. And here's kind of what they look like.
And in the middle, things.
Yeah.
Some stuff.
There will be
movement.
Maybe
light.
Maybe faces. Do you guys like faces?
Darkness? Do you like darkness?
Black and white? No, black
light,
and white. Color.
Light and dark. Yeah.
But not 3D. How do you feel about 3D? No 3D. Okay, just color. And talky, maybe. it's bizarre, man. It's one of those things that feels really cynical. And the fact that they just come out and say, yeah, we don't know what it is either.
I know.
Like, I don't know how that's even a business move. But I'm not a businessman, in fairness.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we'd be here if it wasn't for the NES Classic thing. It just seems like a...
Yeah. But dumber, because it will be wildly available and have a bunch of Atari 2600 games on it that no one could possibly care about.
That's the ad campaign. They're just going to come out and just be honest about it. It's the NES Classic, but you know... Dumber.
I think the tagline ought to be like an asterisk, and you follow that down to the bottom of the box, and it just says, yes, Custer's Revenge is included.
Yeah,
like, exactly. We threw it all in, because all of it is 8 bytes.
Yeah.
It's
literally costing us a nickel to make these things.
Right.
But we're only making 4,000 of them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's inflate the price as much as possible on the... Nah, probably more than that, because they do have the glowing Atari logo.
Mm, that's true. And it looks like there's like USB plugs on the back of it or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Right, so you can plug it in and turn it into a Raspberry Pi and actually get some use out of it, I guess.
Maybe it'll be fantastic.
It may be so. I'm like, it's real easy to give this thing shit because it's nothing. You just, it's like any good art, you impose your own meaning onto it. Yeah. Because they don't know, apparently.
I just threw this next one in because I love the movie Blade Runner. The Left 4 Dead and Evolve developer Turtle Rock Studios is releasing what sounds just kind of like a kind of on rails-y shooter where you fly in one of the spinner craft from the Blade Runner universe and blow shit up, but that's fine. Like, if I get to fly through 2019 or 2045, 2049 at Los Angeles in a car and shoot stuff, that could be enough for me. So,
yeah.
Replicant Pursuit places players in the cockpit of a spinner, the Flying Sentinels, primed to retire renegade robots.
Do you think when you get to the end of the game, one of the replicants turns and gets all mopey on you and brings the whole room down?
It's all rainy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's doves.
Yeah. After you literally cut Daryl Hannah in half with your gun.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
I got my...
All right. Give me some more Blade Runner. That's why I put this story there. Fuck yeah. Whatever.
I got my complaints with Ridley Scott, but that ain't one of them.
Yeah. We already talked about Titanfall 2. Doom, the modern 2016 version of Doom. Is that right? Was it 2017?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
No. It had to be 2016 because it was Game of the Year.
Yeah. They are releasing the 6.66 update. Which makes all of the previous multiplayer DLC free and changes multiplayer progression around a little bit. Previously, the season pass for multiplayer was $40. But that was like a year ago. They're lowering the price, too. It was really cheap.
$15.
$15. You can get you some of one of the greatest first-person shooters I have ever played.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's the time it held on for a while at a pretty good price. And
So $15 now gets you awesome single player campaign. And I played a little of the multiplayer. It was not my jam. The thing that was actually cool about that was that snap map where you could build your own maps and stuff, but we never really got into it very much. I know Bo and I farted around with some of the downloads a little bit and it was fun. And it's that thing. We should all totally play some Doom together because it would be a great time, but we just kind of never do.
So. Yeah, we should jump in, particularly to that stuff, because there was some really weird, dumb stuff in there that was kind of fun to monkey around with. Like that weird Minecraft sim.
Yeah.
Was really strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's no better time to be to get some Doom. So.
Yeah, that's a good, absolutely, $15, man, for everything. And I don't know that I would feel cheated if I'd paid... $100 for the ultimate Doom experience a year ago.
Yeah, I bought it on like release for the full 60, and I didn't buy any of this DLC. So, I have
no complaints
about paying $60 for that game. So,
keeping
with our false scarcity theme. We're going to talk about totally not false scarcity. We're going to talk about some serious scarcity. One of the most rare original Nintendo NES games was recently sold for $42,000, and that is Bandai's Stadium Events. I have watched auctions of this game a couple of times on eBay, and $42,000 is a lot of money for an NES cart.
Yeah.
Well, and according to the article, this is the highest graded copy
This is the best copy of Bandai's Stadium Events available. And that is worth $42,000 because there aren't very many of them. Someday, you'll be able to sell your Atari box for $42,000 on eBay. No,
I'm sure. Well, I, you know, you might be able to get away with that with the Super NES, but I don't know.
They'll have the opposite problem. They'll pull a full Atari. They'll have the opposite problem of the NES Classic. They will just flood the market with these things so that they will be absolutely worthless forever. They'll end up taking them out in the desert and burying them with the fucking ET carts that are out there.
Yeah, I was gonna say my mom's got a closet full of Beanie Babies. I'll sell you.
Boy, the bottom dropped out of the Beanie Baby market. I have more knowledge of that than I ought to because of Power Listener Andy, and folks that he is in the orbit of who, let's say, went heavy on Beanie Babies.
Should never go long on Beanie Babies. That's a short market if I ever saw one.
You got to day trade Beanie Babies. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to make money on it.
Gonna get some trading bots going. So they can do, you know, multiple millisecond Beanie Baby trades.
Man, I wonder if there are still Beanie Baby whales out there that are still still in the game, still collecting, and you just, as a seller, you got to hope you run across one and unload everything for, I mean, a fraction of what you paid for, no question, but at least you get it out of your house.
I think you're stuck with them, man.
Right. Once a Beanie Baby is in your house, if you have a Beanie Baby in your house in 2017, it's going to be there till you die. Or you remove it, but it comes back.
I'm not a professional Beanie Baby speculator, but it is too late.
Right. Now is not the time for Beanie Babies to...
Nor is it time to hold on to them any longer. You could just throw them in the trash.
You never know. I mean,
yeah, it's true. Time is the flat circle for one Nintendo game. Could happen.
Yeah. At some point, like, people are going to start throwing out all these Beanie Babies. And then all of a sudden, it's like, man, you know what no one has anymore? Beanie Babies.
They're going to be huge again.
They're going to be huge.
For the first time.
Yeah.
That's the end of the news, except for one final story. This is the part of the show where, Bo, if we have any sort of budget left over, you should put a submarine klaxon playing in the background.
I will. I'll see what I can do. The money's not...
It's tight.
Honestly, it's coming in pretty good. I'm just putting it in some dumb places.
Like, we don't have a klaxon bucket.
Yeah, there's no... No, there is not. Actually, there is a horn bucket, just not a klaxon one.
Yeah, that's a subcategory.
Yeah, I don't...
Of horns. Yeah. Fancy. Or is horns a subcategory of klaxon? I don't know. I think it goes the first way.
I farm all that out. I don't ask those questions. Okay.
You have like an agency that handles that kind of stuff.
Well, that's why we don't have any goddamn money, is I've been giving it all to them. You know.
There's an argument to be made for management, you know?
Right, right. I wished I'd looked into them. I don't think this is what they're supposed to do for a living. But go
Das
on.
Boot.
Yes.
Das Boot. In VR. That's it.
Yeah, it's
coming.
Yeah.
It's all I've ever wanted, really. From the first time
a press
I heard
release,
VR was going to be a thing.
A press release sent out this morning promised, and I love this quote, oppressive narrowness. Sounds like a sub game to me. Yeah. I mean, having played a little bit of the, what is it called now? Wolf Pack. Previously, it was the HMS Mulrukin.
Uh huh.
I could go for some fucking VR Das Boot, man.
Speaking of, I'll tell you a little sub story here, or throw this little tidbit in. What about Rift with Touch being $300?
Yeah, I mean,
talk about an entry price. Holy shit, that ain't bad.
Yeah, you know, and I looked at it and thought, man, I should maybe do that. But then the first thing that popped into my head is, why are they selling these so cheap? Are they going under? Is the Rift going to go out of business?
Right, but you're still going to be able to get the games.
Yeah. It made me real nervous. Like, I didn't want to, like, well, man, why the sudden price drop? Like, what's going on with that?
You're a fool. You know?
The problem is what I really want is a Vive, but I don't want this Vive. I want the next Vive because that one's going to be fucking badass.
Right. There's nothing wrong with
that. Yeah. So I have managed to stay out of the VR market, and as someone who's on, you know, an active member of a video game podcast, I should probably have a VR system, but I just haven't done it. I haven't pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Well, you know what you ought to do is try to get you one of them PlayStation VRs on the cheap somewhere, like eBay that shit. See if you can get one of those for $150. That'd be worth
it. They seem to still be pretty popular.
Yeah.
Like maybe I don't see them out. I've seen a couple in the wild here and there, and you know, it's like they haven't marked them down yet, so it doesn't seem to be going the way of the Kinect.
Right.
That thing just fucking stove right into the ground. Like nobody wanted that thing.
Yeah. So. That was a big no thank you from the American public.
Yeah. So one of these days, but when I get there, things like the DOS boot game will be waiting for me.
Yeah, but that seems, oh my goodness. It just lends itself so well to VR. I can't.
You could have just said VR sub game and I would be on board fully, but then you say, yeah, we're in, you know, possibly the best sub movie of all time is our inspiration for the sub game we're making. Now you've really got my attention.
Is there a possibly on that? What's the contender? Hunt for Red October, maybe? That's awfully good, I mean, but it's no DOS boot.
I would kind of separate those two as kind of from different times a bit. DOS boot is more of a classic film to me, and Hunt for Red October kind of has a modern, I don't want to say action vibe to it, but they're both great sub movies. Don't get me wrong. I also really was a sucker for, and I don't know why, but it was like an old 70s movie called Gray Lady Down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan of, it's actually an old John Wayne film called Run Silent, Run Deep.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And it's sub movies. I think it connects into my desire to dig mine shafts.
The hole.
Yeah.
There is no greater hole than the ocean.
There's a really cool, it's a decommissioned World War II submarine in the harbor in Baltimore that you can go on a tour of, and that shit is fucking fascinating. It is really small inside of that thing, and it's just all, you know, potentiometers and like old school radio switches and knobs and stuff. And when you're inside of it, it does not seem watertight in any way. It seems real dangerous.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did you ever see the movie Below?
No, I don't think so.
It's about a haunted submarine.
Hmm.
It's got Zachary Galifianakis in it.
It does, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
really?
In a dramatic role.
It's a very good movie.
Really is, yeah.
Write that shit down. That's your sub minute, and also the end of the news.
All right. Yeah, it's fitting that we end with submarines. I don't know how I just said that. keeping it professional.
It seems right.
Yeah, it kind of did, and I don't know why, other than we all share, I think, a mutual love of submarines.
Just go with it.
So that's the subcast.
Which is never mind.
We'll just All right. I think I know where you're going with that, and I appreciate it.
You know what? Because I don't. So that's why I stopped.
All right. For the best then. Because it was gonna be really funny. So folks, thanks for listening. We're gonna spin it around the table one last time and talk about what we are gonna be playing in the coming fortnight. Between now and when next we release an episode. Completely off the top of my head, totally random. Justin, what are you going to be playing?
The word that I can't say.
All right. I mean, I think we're all on the Battlegrounds train here. Everybody's going to be playing some of that. So.
What?
I know. Cherry. John, what about you?
I picked up a shit ton of stuff on the Steam sale, so I've actually played some of it. I'm going to just kind of keep digging around in a few things. I got Dead Cells, which is an early access roguelike. That game's pretty fun. I'll probably talk about that next time.
All right.
But I got a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I finally got Stardew Valley. I haven't cracked into that yet. I got Salt and Sanctuary. A bunch of little kind of one-off games. They're all from the same developer that did Polybridge. I got, like, Mini Metro and Train Valley and Simple Plains. A couple little doodads there to fuck around with. Black Desert Online. I picked up Dishonored 2. I haven't tried that yet. Soma. So I've got a whole bunch of new stuff I can.
Yeah, I almost picked up Dishonored 2, and then I remembered that I didn't really play Dishonored all that much. So
yeah, it. I played I played enough of the first one to know that I liked it, and then a bunch of shit happened, and I never got back to it. And I was like, oh man, this one looks even better. So instead of going back to the old one, I'll just pay $20 and play the better one. So that was my entire line of thought that led me down that path. So.
All right. Yeah. No, that all checks out. Yeah. I am within striking distance of finishing Arkham Asylum. Not quite there, but I'm close enough that I'm like, I'm probably going to finish this game one more time. Like,
yeah.
There are plenty of other new games I ought to finish, but I don't know, man. Sometimes
you got to go back, man. Like, going back to RimWorld was a lot of fun. I am going to keep playing it. I'm going to, you know, try to make time for it. It's fun to revisit the classics.
Yeah, and I got a handful of the bosses under the belt. I'll tell you, what turns me off on the Arkham Asylum, though, is having played it a bunch, those Scarecrow levels just piss me off. It's just, it's a little too finicky sometimes, and I just want it to be over.
The first time, though, that was some real cool shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand why it's there, but when you're doing it the third time in the game,
yeah.
And you're like, this just is longer and more complicated version of the thing I already did. And it's not fun. It's just the thing that's stopping me from getting to the other parts of the game I like.
One of my favorite parts of that game is still, I think it's a room you go into right before the first Scarecrow encounter. And it's the room you walk into and you start hearing voices saying, get out of here. Get out of this room. Get out. Get out of this room, and you're walking around trying to figure out what the fuck you're supposed to do in there, and what you're supposed to do in that room is walk out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you walk out, and you walk back in, and it's a different room, and it leads you to the Scarecrow. It's just simple, but super cool. Like, it kind of freaked me out a little bit when I played it.
And you also see the moments before that, the murdered body of Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that whole sequence is really good. Yeah, it doesn't... It doesn't end particularly well, but it's fine. You know, it doesn't quite stick the landing for as much greatness as that game possesses. But those are all real finicky complaints about a game that I think I'll be finishing it for the third or fourth time this time around. So clearly, yeah. I'm enjoying it. All right, so folks listening, first of all, thanks for joining us. We like to have you here, but, you know, clean up when you go. That's just polite. What were you raised in a barn? So if you download the show via the iTunes, if you would leave us a rating and review over there, that would be fantastic. And quite frankly, wherever you happen to listen to this show, if you could drop us a rating as well, that would be great. And there is no substitute, though, for telling your friends. So if you know someone who enjoys video games or submarines, then let them know about this show and assure them they will be getting plenty of both. I think that's about it, guys. Anything else before we hop on out of here?
We talk about Star Trek and Diablo a lot.
Yeah.
That helps sell it, you know?
Right, so, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say we talk about Star Trek a lot. I would say we reference Star Trek from time to time.
Comes up.
Yeah. I mean, it's never not related to what we're talking about.
I hear what you're saying. I think the way best to phrase it is that we are a pop culture savvy podcast for kids. For the kids.
Correct.
it's the kids part that I'm hanging up on here.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Fuck it.
I mean, above the age of 18, but below the age of me.
I mean, as long as Dion doesn't get pissed off at us, you know,
advertising to the kids with his song. Can you play us out with The Wanderer?
How much
of that song can we play without having to pay copyright fees?
Zero. No, I think we're fine as long as we don't show the picture of me hurting a pet.
Okay.
Which I'm
beheading kittens.
Yeah. If you listen close on the outro, you can hear the spine of a beloved kitten snap.
Hmm. If you look at the audio file with a spectrograph,
there you go.
There's some fucked up kitten shit in there.
All of the as the song plays, all of the kittens that you hear killed, I assure you, are from a good home. They are not strays. These were pets often considered part of the family.
It's dark. I like it.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Couldn't even muster a good night.
That's... Now I'm going to have nightmares about cats.
Well, that's why we're killing them all.
That's true. Just, right. It's for a good cause. Right.
Yeah.